Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. With those debates we've been watching all this season or not, our guests are Phil Sharp and Amy Payson from UNR, going to be talking about debates and what they really are. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mary Lau and Dan Mason. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As a Marine combat veteran, I understand the sacrifices our military makes. Our benefits are earned, and we rely on them. Politicians like Joe Heck should understand that.
Joe Heck voted to shut down the federal government, risking critical services for Nevada veterans. And during that shutdown, Heck continued cashing his congressional paycheck.
His military record deserves respect. But back in D.C., Joe Heck is putting politics before Nevada. And that doesn't work for me.
Vote Vets and LCV Victory Fund are responsible for the content of this advertising.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've had a lot of debates this season, as we always do. And I wanted to get some experts in to talk about whether these are actually debates or not. So we're joined by Phil Sharp. He's director of forensics, which covers speech and debate at UNR, and Amy Payson, assistant professor in communications at UNR. Pleasure to have you both here. Have these been debates? What the heck have they been?
Our presidential debates are more of a ritual instead of an actual debate. So when we think about debate, we think about the purpose being that the audience can decide on the proposition being presented, like our ballot question, should we vote yes on background checks or no? So traditionally with debates, it's that you've got two opposing sides that are presenting their arguments, weighing out the evidence, seeing which arguments are the strongest arguments, and it's by the strength of the argument that the audience can decide what the best course of action is or who the best presidential candidate is. But what we typically see is that we don't see that back and forth of arguments with our presidential debates. It's much more of another press conference just jointly given with a moderator.
If you had your druthers, what would you like to see with, you know, well, let's start out with the primary debates where we had 17 people on the stage. Is that insanity or what?
It is, and I think when you're not sure of who you'd like to have running for that position, you need to hear the voices. But the process that they followed wasn't very effective. We didn't get to hear a lot about ideas and about opinions. And then when we narrowed down to two, we continued to not talk about ideas and what people might do in terms of policy.
So what does it become? Just entertainment?
Yeah, it's a communication spectacle for sure. I think that it's affecting the way that people see the candidates, but it's,
in what way?
I think primarily it's being driven by what strategies the campaigns are deploying in terms of what they think will make people vote. And they think the things that will make people vote are people's histories and backgrounds or their personalities and their character, not the policies that they plan to pursue once they reach elected office.
So what does this say for our democracy?
It says that our democracy is based more on personalities and people are voting on individuals rather than voting on issues. And that's a process of just how we have come to know how our political campaigns are run. We're very interested in hearing personal stories about candidates. Even in our communication research, we look at what's the most effective way to use these debates, which oftentimes is thinking about having your theme and tying back all of your answers to a given theme, presenting your image of being presidential during these debates, so that ultimately people walk away from the debates getting a feeling for that person rather than more information about the issues, although sometimes issues get presented.
What's the role then of the moderator?
The moderator has actually taken the role that we typically see when we have actual debaters going back and forth to question the evidence, to question the facts of what's being presented, to question whether or not that's a course of action. So in debate terminology, we talk about refuting arguments or evaluating arguments. So the moderator has really taken on that job in some ways. But as we've seen with some of our debates, sometimes the moderator is also out there to create an image to show that they're tough or to show that they're smart on the issues as well. So for them, it's self-promotion as much as it is promotion for the candidates.
And certainly it's a huge stage, obviously, 85 million people watching, 75 million people watching. It is a huge stage and gave, for example, Fox News credibility, being a real news organization. Chris Wallace was given kudos for probably being the best of the moderators. Do you agree with that?
I wasn't sure that any of the moderators did a particularly great job, and I think there are ways to criticize each of their performances. I think Chris Wallace attempted to add some decorum. He attempted to control the candidates and tell them, don't interrupt each other, don't be rude. I might have liked him to say, could you answer the question a little bit more than he did. I think that's an important role of a moderator, to guide the conversation back. And I think it was telling when he said, yes, thank you for that answer. We've heard that answer. You've discussed it in two other debates. Can we talk about something else now? That, I think, is the true role of a moderator.
I found when I did watch all of the presidential debates and the vice presidential debates that the last one, even though I like Chris Wallace very much, and I thought it was a good debate for the most part, but it was a long slog to get through 90 minutes. I mean, it just seemed to be a long time. How about the vice presidential debate? That one seemed to have more character to it.
Yeah, and the vice presidential candidates have a bit more leniency in the kinds of things that they can present. We can remember the Joe Biden and Paul Ryan debate, probably famously, that Joe was able to kind of scold his opponent without having that harm his image or his character. So we see that a bit more with the vice president, since they're not at the top of the ticket. They can be more aggressive. They can maybe have some more charisma and character than we see with our presidential candidates.
What about if you go back to the Reagan-Mondale debates? It seemed to me that there was better opportunity to display character there.
What do you mean by character?
Well, just in Reagan with his line about, I won't hold the youth of my opponent against him.
Oh.
You know, it just seemed that there was some levity in there. Mm-hmm. This seemed to be so bitter all the way through.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just been the way that the campaign has ran its course in having a very negative campaign from the start. So it isn't just the debates themselves. It's everything that's leading up to it. It's the advertisements. It's the convention speeches that are presented. So when all of the advertisements and the Republican convention was noted as being one of the most negative in terms of the tone, in terms of what people were saying. So that sort of, I think, set the framework that the debate sort of followed in that step, that we were going to see something that was much more contentious, not as cordial, and not as much about the issues.
Do you have optimism that going forward we're going to see better debates? I mean, it was interesting. One of the things I found quite irritating, I thought the debate was excellent between Catherine Cortez Masto and Joe Heck, but I was really thrown by the audience and the lack of control of the audience. That seemed to really make it more gladiatorial than a debate.
And I think the people that want to be in that room during the debate have motivation. They have interest. If we could get the public to have the same motivation and interest, it would work. And I think as people turn the debate off, as people go home and say, that wasn't even a debate, and these aren't individuals who are even trained in debate, they know they're not watching a debate, maybe things will change. maybe we'll get real debates. I'm not sure if that'll happen, but I hope that we'll move toward it for the good of our democracy.
Thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it. And maybe we can have an actual debate on this program.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
I fought for my country in Kosovo and Iraq, and I've been a Republican all my life. But I'm the father of three girls. I can't stand hearing Donald Trump call women pigs, dogs, and bimbos. And I sure don't want my daughters hearing it. I want my girls to grow up proud and strong in a nation where they're valued and respected. Donald Trump's America is not the country I fought for. So I'm voting for Hillary Clinton.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mary Lau is here, the president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors, and Dan Mason, program director for News Talk 780 KKOH, and host known as Mad Dog Mason. So you found yourself making news yesterday beyond your show. Tell us what happened.
I saw an email this morning, so apparently the Nevada Democrats are pulling quotes from the show now. The Republicans were doing it earlier this week, so I missed their popularity all of a sudden. It's kind of nice.
And this is because you had Joe Heck on your program.
I had Joe Heck a couple of days ago, and, I found out after the interview that, he said he's not going to vote for Trump, but he won't tell us who. And I said, that's making me crazy. Now, the full context of that is in the scope of I'm suggesting that if you don't vote for Trump, you're essentially voting for Hillary. And that's my take, and it's been my take all along, and that bothers me.
So you want people to come out and declare. He's in a tough place, right, Mary? And I know you're speaking personally now because Retail Association does not do federal elections. But this has become one of the tightest races, if not the tightest in the nation.
Well, I have a lot of people that are concerned about that. So as opposed to saying I'm not voting for somebody, they're saying I'm voting for Pence.
Yes, that's
they do the Mike Pence thing, but basically I agree with Dan. I mean, you're either going to ride for the brand or you're not. A lot of people, and Democrats included, Democrats aren't totally enamored with Hillary.
To say the least.
But they stay in their corral. Yeah. They stay with their tribe. They stay dedicated to their people. We get involved in these moralistic causes and stuff, Republicans do, and they shoot themselves in the foot. The standard joke, circular firing squad, never lose an opportunity to lose an opportunity and stuff like that. I mean, Republicans are just, they just love to melt and fold.
And I think that, the bigger issue for Republicans and Democrats is the Supreme Court.
Oh, it's a huge issue. And do you want a progressive Supreme Court? Do you want to eliminate a third branch of government? And, oh, by the way, how do you like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders controlling the agenda in the Senate? I mean, if you're a progressive, you're saying in happy days are here again. If you're not, you should be worried, you know.
So what are your listeners saying, Dan?
Lots.
I was going to say, let me finish up the question here. Are they chiding the candidates for not supporting Trump, if they're rejecting Trump, but they're conservatives? Is that the way it's going?
To the Joe Heck question in particular, when he backtracked on his endorsement following, you know, the allegations and the Access Hollywood videos, there was a lot of immediate criticism from the audience. They say, why are you doing this? You're essentially voting for Hillary. I mean, they've supported basically what I've said, and that's how it's being looked at by an awful lot of people.
He lost 4 to 5 points immediately.
Yeah, he did.
Because the base moved away from him for not having the courage to stay the course. And it's interesting that in our moralistic attitude here, you're talking about a 40-year-old man who now is 70 running for the presidency, and everybody admires his kids. You think a flight could have raised those kids? I mean, granted, the wives had something to do with it, the mothers and stuff like that. But an amazing family. They're looking at a ridiculous time in life when men usually, excuse me, the men on the panel, go out and buy their red Corvette, lose their mind, and go crazy. So he was on a shock jock program acting like an idiot. Fine, you know, but he was in his 40s. Most men are idiots in their 40s, and boy, are you going to get hearings on that.
Dan, yeah. Would you care to follow up on
well,
that?
I do want to say one thing. I chided my audience for the anti-Joe Heck comments. To your point, he did lose some support there. I have the same premise on the Heck-Catherine Cortez-Masto race as I do the presidency. If you're suddenly going to abandon Joe Heck, now you're supporting her. Is that what you really want to do? So.
And
I'm well over 40, so no, I don't want to comment on that.
Did you ever have a Corvette?
No.
Okay.
That was a money issue, though, primarily.
Let's take a break. More with these two when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Joe Heck's and Donald Trump's views on women are disturbing. Heck voted to defund Planned Parenthood 10 times. He was even willing to shut down the government over it. And they both outlaw abortion.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
While Heck co-sponsored legislation to criminalize abortion, even in cases of rape, Donald Trump and Joe Heck are not for you. DSEC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I served under President Bush and Obama. I fought the Taliban. I was asked to form a global coalition to counter ISIL. When someone makes the comment that they know more about the Islamic State or ISIL than do the generals, it implies a complete ignorance of the reality. But I believe Secretary Clinton really understands the threat that the Islamic State poses to the United States and to the American people. And I believe she understands how to wield American power to ultimately defeat this threat and to keep us safe.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
You wouldn't go to the House of Bread in Reno for a loan.
I am broke, and I need some dough.
What?
So why on earth would you take gold, silver, or rare coins to anyone other than the professionals at Northern Nevada Coin? With stores in Reno, Carson City, and Minden, they pay the most for your unwanted gold jewelry, gold or silver bullion, or collection of rare coins. For great pastries, breads, and doughs, go to the House of Bread. And for all your rare coin or gold needs, go to Northern Nevada Coin.
I'm still broke. But that's a lot of dough.
Catherine Cortez Masto failed Nevada rape victims. While attorney general, thousands of rape kits were never sent for DNA analysis. But Cortez Masto had no idea.
Are you aware of this issue about the unprocessed rape kits?
No, I am not aware of that issue. At least it hasn't come to our attention.
Maybe I can get you that information.
Evidence not reviewed. Alleged rapists walking free. Unacceptable. Senate Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on, I think it's still Nevada Newsmakers with our pundits, Mary Lau and Dan Mason. What do you think about the Democrats really pretty much refusing to debate, with the exception of the Masto-Heck debate, which they only gave one. They didn't want to do Reno. They didn't want to do the rurals. The Tarkanian campaigns and Crescent Hardy's campaign both approached Nevada newsmakers to host debates. We were willing to go to Southern Nevada to do them. The Democrats refusing to debate, refusing to even come on the program individually. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, they have their storyline. They have their plot, their plan, their race plotted out. They don't want any anomalies. I mean, if you come on a debate, something can show up that's going to bite you in the end. And, you know, we experienced that with the Heck and Masto race or debate, if it was a debate. But, you know, that's another question. But if the Democrats feel that they've got, you know, an edge here, so why give anybody the opportunity to blow that edge? We give so much credit for the Reid machine, but as you know, we're in other states too. And New Mexico's doing high voter turnout in the Democrat race. It's the national blueprint for taking this election, is getting voter turnout in every state, and don't make any mistakes.
How do you feel about that, Dan? Your program is also, like this one, a forum for people to come on and exchange the issues, or at least give their, you know, campaign positions. By the way, Mary, most of these candidates on the Democratic side refuse to even come on the program. We offer to go to Las Vegas to tape them. So whatever schedule, in some cases...
They're afraid of the questions. They don't want to go on the record.
We don't do them together generally on my program, and that's a time issue more than anything. Well, we've had some Democrats on the show in the last few weeks. We've had others turn us down, supposedly because they don't have the time. Could be, you know, obviously I'm a conservative, so some would naturally think it's going to be adversarial. I don't do adversarial interviews. I want them to talk. Well, and to the debate question, that's the problem. As Mary said right at the end there, debates are less about talking about your policy and more about avoid making the big mistake. It's what you don't say that they're concerned about more than anything.
And I have to give credit to KLAS and Steve Sebelius, who is the token Democratic writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, that he had every opportunity to be biased on the Democratic side, and I thought he was right down the middle. I thought he did a very good job of the debate. The thing, as I said with our debate crew here earlier, was the audience part threw me, all the cheering and yelling. It just... seem wrong.
Well, that you don't go to a debate to have it be a participatory sport, but there's not enough people familiar with debate formats, and you do
apparently not.
You do bite your tongue or chew on your finger if somebody says something wrong, but you normally don't interrupt.
You want to have a real debate? Don't have an audience.
Exactly. That would be my premise.
Yeah, and I thought Steve did an excellent job.
Yes, I thought the whole crew there did it. And I thought it was interesting that Catherine was on the attack, which was the appropriate thing for her to do, and Joe Heck, instead of responding by attacking her back, attacked with policy. And I thought that neither of them made mistakes in that debate, and both came out.
I know somebody else who should try that.
let's talk about the legislature. Now, we've just had the special session. We've just raised all this money up that's going to be going on for another 20 years for the stadium. But the state is facing a $400 million deficit, mainly due to Medicaid. What are we going to do when every department in state government is being now asked for 5% to 10% cuts to be put in place, ready to go if necessary? What is there left to raise at the next session?
Oh, they're going to be looking at more taxes. I mean, let's get serious here. The assembly's probably going to flip, and that's going to make it difficult. You know, Roberson may hold on by his chinny chin chin or the little kitty commercials going hang in there and stuff, but in reality, Roberson will back whatever the governor wants. So if the governor signals to the D's he's willing to look at more taxes, he's on his way out, they're going to be willing to go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, because Roberson is Raggio-esque in that manner. I support my governor, you know. So we'll see where that goes. But it's going to be an interesting session because decorum has slipped everywhere. I mean, it's lovely to say the presidential election is ugly, but I'm sorry. You know, you look at Twitter and you look at what's going on the Twitter wars and stuff, and the Democrats in our state have gotten more and more progressive, too. So we've got the far left and the far right, you know, shooting volleys against each other.
Any specific taxes that you can think of that would be an ideal target?
I don't know.
Not one that you would want.
Ideal target, but well, you know, like at the end, at the end of 15, it was like several of us acknowledged we didn't do anything to fix the base. We finally made gaming happy. Gaming had been working on a corporate tax for years, you know, 30 that I know of because I was there, you know, with that and opposing it, by the way. But so they're going to have to fix it. And the only place they can fix is Mood Sports Services. And now you're really going to get a bunch of, you know, she hates men and she's proposing a tax. That's not the point. The point is that's the only area of our economy that we don't. So but how much money can we pull out of people? You know, how much money can the federal government, and shut up, Mary, give them give Dan a shot.
It's all true. What can I say?
That is the best answer. If you can't go to a commercial break, that's the best answer that you can give.
I want specifics about where the $400 million shortfall come from, because that was this little time bomb that just got dropped on us before the special session. Oh, Medicaid. Gee, nobody thought that would happen. Yeah. That was the prediction from the beginning when we jumped into the whole Affordable Care Act expansion of Medicaid. Is anybody shocked that we have a problem now? I'd like somebody to tell me how we're going to fix it.
Well, if we end up not repealing and replacing it, good luck. Education will be the second in our state spending.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both. Well, thank you, Mary. And Dan, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. We'll be right back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Car trouble happens. It's inconvenient, costly, and sometimes even dangerous. Unless you've got this, the AAA card. We call it the Get It card. Need a tow? Get it. Need gas? Get it. Need your tire changed? Get it. Need a jump start or even a new battery? Get it. Need your car unlocked? Get it. 24/7, anytime, anywhere, all by skilled service technicians. And unlike some other roadside services that only go with you in your car, the AAA card goes with you no matter whose vehicle you're in. Plus, you'll get discounts for shopping, restaurants, hotels, car repairs, and more, which can easily pay for the cost of membership. How much for all this peace of mind? Only $56 a year. $56. Over 56 million members think it's worth every penny. The AAA card. Call now and get it.
Get this roadside flashlight free. Visit AAA.com/get it or call AAA now at 1-844-356-8233.
Telephone companies have complicated deals with contracts and hidden fees. But with Spectrum Internet, we make it simple and affordable at $29.99 a month when bundled. And there's no contract.
No contract at all with Spectrum.
Finally.
Spectrum Internet is the fastest you can get. At 20 times the speed of DSL, you'll easily have enough bandwidth for all your devices.
Our phones, tablets, all connected. And it's fast.
No slowdowns, no data caps. Everything is perfect.
With Spectrum Internet, I'm getting more for my money.
Get Spectrum Internet for $29.99 a month. Call 844-883-2999. With Spectrum TV, you get free HD, and all your primetime shows are free on demand.
We can always watch what we want, when we want it.
And Spectrum Voice is simply superior with no added taxes or fees.
And the bundle dropped our bill in half.
Get Spectrum Internet, TV, and Voice. Just $29.99 a month each with no contracts. Call 844-883-2999.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes.